Welcome to the new Cyber Frontier, bringing you the latest news on the local Colorado economy and initiatives that focus on the development of cybersecurity economics. You don't have to be a computer or cybersecurity expert to get plugged in. Your host, Chris Gorog, brings it straightforward, asks the tough questions, and brings the cyber world to a level of understanding for everyone. Chris is personable and opens up with our guests on issues we all would like to see addressed. You can find us on the web at www.newcyberfrontier.com. Now join our host as he introduces the topic for today's New Cyber Frontier.
Well, welcome everybody to the New Cyber Frontier. We have a special guest today, Dr. Bob Gemignani from School District 49. He is the Work-Based Learning Program Manager. Welcome, Bob.
I'm glad to be here.
Well, you know, we're glad to have you as well. And, you know, you've got a great contribution that's catching some attention here in the local Colorado Springs community. And, you know, we'd like to have you talk about that a little bit. Can you explain what it is, you know, where'd you come from and when did you start with School District 49 and what really is the work-based learning program?
Sure, thank you. I appreciate the audience and getting the word out. So I was a business developer and a sales rep for most of my career and had a midlife crisis back about 7 years ago. Decided to get a Harley Davidson and a nonprofit job. And my first nonprofit job was at the Pikes Peak Workforce Center, working, developing a work training program for our participants who had some disadvantages or barriers to employment. Young people between the ages of 16 and 24 that were homeless or dropped out of high school or might have had some disabilities, and connecting those young people with opportunities for them to train at work and then get placed into employment. So that's kind of where I cut my teeth in the occupation of workforce development, which is really what I consider my role. In July of 2017, I switched roles after being at the Workforce Center for about 5 years, creating and running that program, and was hired at School District 49 as the work-based learning manager to create a program there. After about 6 or 8 months of creation of that program and launching of that program, the community career tech ed directors amongst our 13 local school districts started hearing about what we were doing and became very attracted to our program and the model. And at that point, there was some decision making that needed to be done for all the school districts. Was the creation of a program in D49 going to require them to launch a similar program with a lot of redundancy around all the school districts in town? Or would we find a way to collaborate as a community of school districts around a single program for the whole community? And I'm really glad that our community of school districts opted to collaborate. So that's kind of where we stand at the current moment, and then maybe we could talk a little bit more about the initiative that's coming up.
So we've got, 13 school districts, and so are all 13 on board?
All 13 school districts have now, there was an organic collaboration that was kind of bubbling up from the career technical education director roles in all of those school districts. When we initially started to collaborate, we started piloting some cross-district activities in the work-based learning continuum program that's part of our program. And we had some really good success. So the superintendents then became attracted.
Okay.
And they have, in January of this year, all of the superintendents from every single school district unanimously adopted launching of the Pikes Peak Business Education Alliance starting July 1st. They also have gone to their boards to request funding to be able to fund the launch of the program. And starting July 1st, I will be changing roles from the program manager at School District 49 to an executive director of the Pikes Peak Business Education Alliance.
Wow, that's awesome.
It's pretty cool. It's been a fun, exciting ride with a lot of encouragement from our community.
We'll be right back with the rest of today's show right after these brief messages from our sponsors. Cyber Resilience Institute helps build strong cyber communities designed to prevent members from attack. Like building a neighborhood watch, it takes coordination and a sharing community to protect our identities and valuables in the virtual world. Typically, we hear that organizations know they need to do something to protect their cyber assets, but don't know where to begin. Let Cyber Resilience Institute help your community create an action plan. Cyber Resilience Institute will build your community or business marketplace so that it is designed to support a collective cyber defense. Contact them for more information at cyberresilienceinstitute.org.
Well, welcome back. We're talking to Bob Geminiani. Sorry about that.
That's all right.
Who's the work-based learning program manager transitioning into a director role, combining a great program to all of the school districts here in our community. You know, you asked, you talked a little bit about the work-based learning continuum. Can you elaborate on that a little bit?
Absolutely. So the Pikes Peak Business Education Alliance, when all of these school districts decided to come together and collaborate, we adopted three primary strategies, of which one is the work-based learning continuum. The first and most important is alignment of our business partnership and community partnership business development efforts. If you can just imagine, there's 10 hospitality and culinary programs amongst the school districts in our community. You have all of these folks in the classrooms trying to engage hotels and restaurants to have students take field trips or do job shadows or internships with these organizations. And all of the school district's personnel are stumbling all over each other to contact these hotels and restaurants. And it creates, our community of employers have basically communicated to us that they're suffering from employer fatigue by having to deal with all these separate points of contact in the community of schools. So the first strategy that we adopted was alignment of these business development efforts,
sure.
Where our community of schools can communicate through the Pikes Peak Business Education Alliance to our business community, and vice versa. Our business community, with any opportunities they may be willing to sponsor along that continuum, can communicate that into the Pikes Peak Business Education Alliance. So the work-based learning continuum itself is an accelerating intensity of activities that's really set up as a design to create a talent pipeline into any occupational area, into any industry or employer. And it includes low-intensity activities like a field trip to a local business, or industry professional coming into a classroom and talking about what that industry or occupation looks like. Then accelerating to a job shadow, which might be a 2 or 4 hour short duration experience for a student, for example, who may be wanting to go into cybersecurity as a profession.
Sure.
That student could be a freshman or a sophomore in high school, and they might be in a career pathway for computer science or information technology. And they want to sit with a professional like yourself or somebody in our community that is a cybersecurity professional and do an informational interview, find out what the day in the life looks like for that professional, how they fitted themselves to enter that occupation, things of that sort. And then from the job shadow, the next continuum item is an internship of a duration of 60 to 120 hours.
Wow.
And the reason those durations are important is because graduation requirements were updated through the Colorado Department of Education a couple of years ago. And this is pretty exciting too, that our education folks are starting to come around this concept of workplace learning, work-based learning. So the 60 and 120 hours are operative in that a 60-hour internship will qualify a student for a 0.5 elective course credit.
Wow, that's good.
Yeah, 120 hours then is a 1.0 elective course credit. Students in all school districts are able to accumulate up to 7 elective course credits throughout their 4 years, right? So in essence, a student who is in an IT or cybersecurity curriculum in secondary education could do 7 120-hour internships over 3 or 4 years, right? From the internship, really what we're trying to do is bridge this workforce development talent pipeline from K through 12 education into students launching into a post-secondary education environment or launching into career after high school. So the intent of the work-based learning continuum for our business partners is to be able to reach into K through 12 education to attract, inform, train, and hire students. And the value for our students is having an opportunity to explore careers, investigate occupations, receive training and resume enhancements to be able to help them on an entry level rung in a career. So that's our second strategy.
Okay.
And then the final strategy is aligning our career pathways advisory councils. Every school district that has a CTE program in a specific occupational training area, say IT or cybersecurity, needs to meet with employers in that industry twice a year to help inform their program. Well, think about it. If we have 10 IT cybersecurity programs throughout the 13 school districts, each one doing separate advisory councils, we have fragmentation of information.
Sure.
We have fragmentation of occupational data and labor market information, training information. So we're going to try to align all that and combine all of these career pathway advisory councils from every single school district and collapse it to a single one.
Wow.
Where a group of engaged, passionate, informative employers can sit down with these community of school district programs in IT or computer science, cybersecurity, and have a really meaningful conversation about what should a student look like when they graduate high school, what kind of skills should they have, aptitudes, and what kind of education, certifications that will help them launch into a career either after post-secondary or after high school. So those are our three strategies. And then finally, the tool that we use is called the Work-Based Learning Marketplace. It's our own internal Indeed.com that
okay.
is specifically associated with these work-based learning opportunities along the continuum that we've just talked about. We work with our businesses and industry partners to create these opportunities and bring them into the marketplace for our classroom students, advisory teachers, and counselors to shop and engage and connect with.
So do they use that then to socialize and articulate the program to the students that might be interested at the schools?
Yes,
okay.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I was trying to see how at the various districts, how did the students actually get engaged? How are they made aware of the programs?
Right. So there's a number of different communication strategies that we have. One is we created the marketplace itself to be a really simple call to action. So the second part of that is we do a monthly marketing communication that gets filtered into our primary points of contact in the school districts. At this point, those primary points of contact are generally the career tech ed directors.
Okay.
The career tech ed directors are the creators of the Pikes Peak Business Education Alliance.
Okay.
So they're vested, they're informed, they understand the value statements for our business community and our classrooms and students. So the marketing communications that we push into the school districts are intended to elevate awareness amongst our guidance counselors, our career advisory teachers,
okay.
To help them be aware of the opportunities that our business partners have sponsored onto the marketplace to help these students with their career exploration and training in the occupation that they might be looking to enter after high school. With the BEA launching on July 1st, and with this unanimous superintendent and board approval, I am certain that leadership in all the school districts is going to be encouraging the staff and the teachers to connect with this tool and with this strategy.
That's awesome. You know, listening to the continuum and all the various activities that a student can participate in. If you think about when I graduated from high school, I mean, I wasn't going to college, but if I was, we really, both of us, we had a reset midway in our careers, right? What do you want to do when you grow up? This allows a student to actually understand what those careers are, actually get some experience in them, and maybe it doesn't fit, or they can change their mind and choose something else.
I think we were talking about the unanimous approval.
Oh yeah, so I was talking about, this gives an opportunity for kids to actually get some experience before they make that. Oh, I want to, like my daughter, she wants to be a veterinarian.
Mm-hmm.
Go shadow, go do this. Part of your continuum gives enough of the activities and as to whether or not this is really what I want to do. Well, that's not what I thought it was.
Right.
The continuum actually, all these activities that are in this, in this continuum are, it provides enough information to
validate whether or not a student really is going in the direction that they think they want to go.
Yes.
And that's what, I guess that's what I'm impressed with. Mm-hmm. You know, I wish I'd have had something like this when I was coming out of school.
You just said something, and maybe we could touch on this. So our practice has been like amazingly received, especially in the business community, right?
Sure.
You just said something that almost every single business professional says when they actually engage this. Yep. and host a student or a classroom. Because like in the field trips, classroom presentations, and job shadows, our practice follows what we call a career storytelling model.
Sure.
You just said it. What did I want to be when I grew up? You know. So when I was in high school, what was my first paid job? When I was in high school, what did I want to be when I grew up? Am I doing what I wanted to be when I grew up now?
Right.
90%? No.
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 I've jumped careers 3-4 times.
Yeah. So it's pretty exceptional for an industry professional today to be doing what they wanted to do when they were in high school.
Yeah.
So there's that. We're speaking into the lives of these young people. We're giving our industry professionals an opportunity to inform young people, and invariably when we're done with these, they say exactly that. Gosh, Bob, I wish we had this information when I was in high school.
We're going to talk about that when we come back. Thanks, Bob.
Great.
We'll be right back with the rest of today's show right after these brief messages from our sponsors. Cyber Resilience Institute helps build strong cyber communities designed to prevent members from attack. Like building a neighborhood watch, it takes coordination and a sharing community to protect our identities and valuables in the virtual world. Typically, we hear that organizations know they need to do something to protect their cyber assets, but don't know where to begin. Let Cyber Resilience Institute help your community create an action plan. Cyber Resilience Institute will build your community or business marketplace so that it is designed to support a collective cyber defense. Contact them for more information at cyberresilienceinstitute.org.
Welcome back. Our guest is Bob Gemignani from School District 49. He is currently the Work-Based Learning Program Manager. Welcome back, Bob.
Thank you.
Yeah, we were talking about how when I was coming out of high school, man, this would have been a great program that would have helped me better, understand what it is I really wanted to do, and all of this continuum that you described would have been a great thing. How is that being received today?
Right. Yeah, it's pretty incredible. Our business community, our community of school districts have all sort of been very receptive and excited about especially a component of the work-based learning continuum where in field trips or classroom presentations or job shadows especially, we've adopted what we're calling a career storytelling model. And in that model, we're asking our industry professionals to speak into the lives of these young people that they have in front of them. And for example, say what their first paid job was when they were in high school, or what was their dream job when they were in high school? What did they want to be when they grew up? What kind of education did they receive? How did they fit themselves to enter their career? And then the final question is, are you doing now what you planned on doing in high school? Invariably, we're finding that most professionals like ourselves are not doing what we thought we wanted to do in high school. I wanted to be a professional baseball player in high school. Never made it, and didn't have a very good plan B. But our students need to hear that. You know, when they're in middle school and early high school, they need to hear these stories of industry professionals. I think it takes some fear away from them making an occupational decision. Invariably, when our employers are in front of students and they go through one of these work-based learning continuum items that they're hosting, and then the students leave and I talk to the business professionals, they're saying, we wish we had this information when we were in high school.
Yeah.
And that is just an incredible endorsement of our program, of the value that we're trying to create, not just for our businesses, but also for our students. When they're either trying to rule in or rule out a potential career path.
Yeah, I mean the job shadowing in the internships, that's real world. That's actually interacting with what you would be doing that will allow a student to make a better informed decision, rather than go to school for 4 years and then go try and do that job and realize, I just not necessarily wasted 4 years, but maybe concentrating on something that not applicable to what I want to do.
Right, and part of the beauty of what we're trying to do here too, Sean, is we're trying to carry this economic information into our school systems, right? We're trying to carry labor market information. What are the most demanded occupations in our community? What are the occupations in our community that require a post-secondary degree or certificate? Which ones don't? And informing students to help them make decisions. We're also trying to disrupt the notion that college is for everybody. Right now, we're suffering an amazing, difficult crisis in post-secondary education. We have $1.4 trillion of student debt accumulated in our country. We have a post-secondary dropout rate of 43%. What's happening is students are being pushed to go to college, not knowing exactly what they want to do, not declaring a major, and they're accumulating basically student loan debt trying to figure out what they want to do.
Right.
And that's not very productive. So we're trying to help pull some of this information into K-12 and have those students kind of align their passions and their interests and their aptitudes with a career earlier. So if they're going to post-secondary, they can make that selection and be focused and be less likely to drop off.
You know, and that's applicable to the cybersecurity realm. There are so many jobs that really don't require a degree, but do require a certain amount of experience.
And or so a post-secondary certificate.
Absolutely. Right? Or a professional certification like Security Plus or CISSP or one of the 100 that are out there. If you've got the aptitude, and I can put you in a cyber range, and you can demonstrate the skills necessary to be able to do the job, the post-secondary degree shows me that you can commit to a program. How important is that next to demonstrating the skills that I need right now for you to be able to be effective in your job? For cybersecurity, we're starting to peel away from making it a mandatory thing to have a post-secondary degree.
And we're hearing you in the community of school districts. Our IT, computer science, cybersecurity pathways in our school districts are, I mean, with the BEA in the front of this, we're pulling this information into our schools from our employers. And we are hearing that we could, for example, have a student in an IT, computer science, cybersecurity pathway in secondary education get an A-plus certificate. We are trying to find ways to have a student that turns 18 in high school to possibly give them a plus one in their high school curriculum and get them a Security Plus certificate before they graduate with their secondary certificate, right? Their secondary diploma.
Sure.
That we understand is fitting them as a potential entry-level employee out of high school without the need to go to post-secondary, right?
Well, and it gives you a core base knowledge of those things as an employer that I would expect you to at least be aware of or have a good understanding of.
Absolutely. Yeah, and so, you know, taking the curriculum part of that education and combining it with the work-based learning continuum with our engaged set of cybersecurity employers in town,
okay,
is going to well-round that student, right? So they're going to have the education and the certifications they need to fit themselves to enter a career. And then our cohort of employers that we're working with in our community are giving them the experiential exposure to that occupation while they're still in high school. It's a beautiful fit.
Yeah, and, you know, so Colorado Springs has got a really strong workforce development program. Mayor Southers has been very supportive over his administration, partnerships with some of the other academic institutions as well as the Pikes Peak Community College, some of the other organizations here in town. You know, it's just the culture and the ecosystem really fits for what you guys are doing. Are there any examples of some of these programs that you could, you know, maybe give us some light on?
Absolutely. So I'll give you two examples. First off, the number one demanded occupation in our community is registered nurses. The number two occupational demand area is IT, cybersecurity, computer science. Number three is skilled trades and crafts in manufacturing and construction. Number four is culinary arts and hospitality.
Okay.
So I'll give you an example from number two and four. So the number two demanded occupation, cybersecurity, Pikes Peak Community College received a grant. It was called the RAMPS grant a couple of years ago. Their cybersecurity staff at Pikes Peak Community College partnered with our community of school districts here in Colorado Springs to create what's called summer cybersecurity internships. The program, pardon me, the program included some professionalism workshops, some communication workshops, and then it included a 60-hour internship over the summer for a group of students that applied, were interviewed, and placed. Wow. So giving those students kind of a practice swing at a real application for a job, a real interview for a job. And those students were able to be placed into those internships where they actually received some cybersecurity tasking and training. Since the launch of the RAMPS grant, that grant has now sunsetted, and PPCC, being a great partner, has handed that model off to the Pikes Peak Business Education Alliance, and now we're running that program for this summer, and we're right in the middle right now of standing up the internships with our employer partners and taking applications from students for the summer internship.
And you've already married that. You've got a good cadre of businesses that are willing to participate?
We could always use more. So if you're an employer listening to this podcast, please reach out to the folks here or myself. I'm happy to engage you. And then the second example is a really cool joining of college curriculum with a high school career pathway in culinary arts. Paragon Culinary School, Dr. Chef, we call Chef Victor Matthews, is a world master chef who founded Paragon Culinary School. We partnered with him and piloted with the Patriot High School Culinary Arts Program that's run in School District 49. Basically, what we decided to do was embed two college classes into a high school career pathway.
Nice.
We called it Falcon Fridays at Paragon, and for 16 Fridays during this school year, we had, I think we started with 10 students and are ending with 7. These students went to Paragon Culinary School and received World Master Chef training in two classes. They're getting two college concurrent enrollment credits, basically, at a very low cost.
But the experience.
The experience, sitting with a world master chef who, you know, rubs shoulders with Emeril Lagasse and Bobby Flay those guys. He's traveled the world. He's just an incredible human being. We love partnering with Dr. Chef. And Eric Lustig, our instructor at Patriot High School, he and Dr. Chef have done a great job together on this. So these students now, when they get out of high school, not only, you know, if they wouldn't have this training, they would enter a career as maybe a prep chef, right?
Sure.
They could actually enter a career after this training running a small kitchen as an 18 or 19-year-old graduate,
sure.
Right? So really incredible outcome for the student. Great outcomes for our culinary employers in town, right? We're having students emerge from a high school program with some excellent skills and exposure, being trained by a world master chef in high school.
It looks great on a resume,
right?
Right out of high school.
What a beautiful resume enhancement, right?
Yeah, and of course, Dr. Chef is well known in the community. So if you're in the hospitality industry, you're going to recognize that candidate that may be coming to your organization. So
you will. And he, one other thing too, he's actually going to be providing a letter of recommendation to each of the students when they receive this certificate.
What better endorsement can you get, especially transitioning into that type of career field?
Absolutely. So those are two really good examples of how our business community is engaging itself in K-12 in this workforce development initiative. We're creating an ecosystem where our business partners and our schools now and our post-secondary partners are creating an ecosystem that's more aligned, it's less fragmented and stovepiped. And it's really been an incredible experience for our community of schools to kind of align ourselves in a way that we can fit ourselves to be really good partners to business, to make the communication easier, to make the connections easier, to make the training more concise and available to our students as they're going through secondary education. Whether they're launching in a career after high school or entering post-secondary, we've been highly encouraged by city leadership, county leadership. Clearly, our superintendents are doing backflips about what this looks like.
Well, it makes the school districts look great as well. So where do you think, you know, let's look at the future. Your new role is director of?
The Pikes Peak Business Education Alliance.
Okay.
Yeah, so director of the Pikes Peak Business Education Alliance. I'm grateful for doing this role. I feel like I'm right where I'm supposed to be doing what I'm doing. We will organize under the Pikes Peak BOCES, which is the local region board of cooperative education services.
Okay.
That was important to our school districts because that is sort of an objective third party foundation, a nonprofit, under which the Pikes Peak Business Education Alliance programmatic element can be hosted by a third party, by an independent third party. Starting July 1st, our priorities are going to be to rebuild the marketplace branded under the Pikes Peak Business Education Alliance.
Okay.
Where our priorities are going to be to continue to build business partnerships and engaging businesses to sponsor opportunities along the work-based learning continuum. And then creating an environment where we're easily able to communicate into the schools starting next school year to help elevate engagement of students in classrooms to participate in these opportunities that are being sponsored by our business community.
Wow, that sounds great. You take a look in less than 2 years from where, you know, you started with School District 49 to here it is a year and a half later. Did you ever think that you'd have this amount of success in this idea?
No, not at all. It's just, I mean, what this has proved to me, Sean, is that no one person can pull something like this off, right? So yeah, I might be kind of the person that's identified with the Pikes Peak Business Education Alliance, but there is a group of people in our community of schools, in leadership at the Economic Development Council, Yemi Mobilade, who is the Vice President of Business Retention and Development here in town, has been a huge advocate for us. We had two or three early adopter school superintendents that saw what we were doing and started coming to our table during our monthly meetings to help us kind of formulate all this. This wasn't a one-person job. This was a 100-person job,
sure.
All lending their gifts and interests and talents to the formation process and helping us figure out ways to navigate launching this and creating the strategies. It's been a really beautiful process, and it's truly been a community collaboration.
Well, you know, this is such a great contribution to the community. You know, it over a year and a half of success, moving into a new role, new partnerships. I think what you've described here today is going to benefit not just the community, but maybe establish a national, maybe a state, and maybe a national program that can be modeled. You know, I'd like to say thank you once again for coming down here and sharing your story. It's a great one. What a significant contribution to the community. It's not just cybersecurity. It's focusing on transitioning students into career paths, economic development, workforce development. It's significant, and we appreciate you coming in here, Bob, and sharing your story. We hope to have you back in maybe another year and a half and talk about, you know, what you guys are doing.
We'll report
more,
out.
Right?
Yeah, no, it's been a pleasure, Sean. Thank you very much for the opportunity.
All right. Well, thank you again. This is Bob Gemignani from School District 49. Thank you again for coming and talking to us at the New Cyber Radio.
You bet, my pleasure.
We hope you have enjoyed this episode of New Cyber Frontier. Remember to get involved. Often we think that someone else will handle privacy and security in the virtual world, but you are the only one truly in command of your virtual fate. Join our mailing list so we can keep you informed of breaking news and new releases. If you have an idea, if you have a question that you would like to hear answered, or if you want to get involved with our efforts, reach out to us at newcyberfrontier.com. We also encourage you to visit our sponsors' links, as they are the ones that really make this show possible. I want to thank each of you for supporting the show, and we look forward to seeing you back for the next episode of New Cyber Frontier.